Today we begin a new liturgical year with the start of Advent. Advent is a season that I think we can easily miss. We can get overwhelmed by the celebration of Christmas that's going on around us. We won't celebrate Christmas until December 24th and then celebrate for the 12 days that follow. But the world's Christmas season began the day after Thanksgiving and lasts until New Year's Day. And with all that happening around us, I think it can be easy sometimes to miss Advent entirely, or maybe just see it as a kind of generic preparation for Christmas. While Christmas has come to the world, complete with decorations, lighted Christmas trees are visible in people's homes, Advent for us begins much more humbly and simply. The season begins with a single candle lit in the darkness. This first Sunday of Advent, just one small flame burns on the Advent wreath. But through these 4 weeks, the light will increase until there are four candles burning against the darkness. These candles are a statement of radical hope in the face of the reality of our world. The light kindled in the darkness offers an assurance that the words of the prophets in ages past will come to pass. This light promises that God hears our cry, that God knows the pain of this world, and that God will ultimately dismantle the oppressive powers of injustice that rule the earth. One of the central themes of Advent is to watch, as we heard in our lessons, to keep awake. We're called to patiently and actively watch for God to visit us, for God to break into this age with those promises that the prophets spoke of, the promises that things will change. What we experience now is not the end. It is not all there is. One day God's reign will be ushered in, and with it comes the promise of new and abundant life. I can't help but wonder if we need Advent this year more than perhaps in any time in our lives. There is so much that is wrong with our world as we enter this holy season. In particular, the coronavirus pandemic ravages the entire world, seemingly unchecked. Once again, we are unable, because of the pandemic, to worship in person. There are far too many people who are sick and dying. Hospitals are overwhelmed, medical staff exhausted, supplies growing short. Here in Rhode Island, the Cranston Field Hospital may be open soon, as local hospitals reach their capacity. And the pandemic causes economic woes for many people. Businesses have failed or scaled back, leading to unemployment. People who were economically challenged before the pandemic sometimes suffer greatly now. Politicians are unable or unwilling to offer economic relief to the most vulnerable. People suffer food insecurity. Many can't pay rent or mortgages. The pandemic has revealed, in terms too stark to ignore, the injustice of our society. This Advent, we cannot pretend that all is well with the world. It is clear we need God more than ever. We cry out with the prophet Isaiah in our first lesson today for God to tear open the heavens and come down. While we wait, while we watch, while we hope for God's deliverance, we may wonder why God doesn't come down and act now. Why doesn't God step in and fix things in this world? Why doesn't God end the sickness, poverty, economic exploitation, and injustice? Perhaps we might wonder, where is God? We might worry God has forgotten us. These are questions that have been asked by people of God for millennia. In today's first lesson, the prophet Isaiah talks about how the people want God to act, just as God has acted in the past by vanquishing their enemies. They hope God will act dramatically, as when God delivered the people from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. But instead, they experience God as hidden and distant. And the people struggle to understand why God, who once acted so powerfully in the past, appears to do nothing in the present. Though the people fear God is not listening and acting, that perhaps they are abandoned by God, Isaiah assures them that they must trust that God is still listening and is still present. Though God is not acting as they hope or as they want. For God is the same God, God who hears the cries of the people always. God has not abandoned them, and God will finally redeem them, creating a new heaven and a new earth. God, however, does not do things as they want. God does not do everything that they ask for. The lesson today ends with beautiful images of God as a father and a potter. These are very personal images and reflect the strong, intimate connection between God and God's people. They are images of God caring for the people, forming and shaping them into the people God calls them to be, just as the potter shapes a mound of wet clay into a vessel. Advent's call is to remember that God hears our cry, that God is acting, that God enters into the present, though not always as we see and understand. God may not act as decisively and dramatically as we hope. God certainly may not do exactly what we want or ask. Advent calls us to remember that we do not fully know or grasp the ways of God. It reminds us to not forget that God does not use coercion. Rather, God comes to us in humility and love. God comes inviting us into relationship with God. God is known in suffering and vulnerability, not in domination and force. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor who opposed the Nazis. And he offers insight into the ways of God. Writing at the end of his life from a German concentration camp shortly before he is killed in 1944, he writes about the hiddenness of God. And I quote, "God would have us know that we must live as people who manage our lives without God. The God who is with us is the God who forsakes us. The God who lets us live in the world without the working hypothesis of God is the God before whom we stand continually. Before God and with God, we live without God. God lets himself be pushed out of the world onto the cross. God is weak and powerless in the world. And that is precisely the way, the only way, in which God is with us and helps us." Unquote. For Bonhoeffer, this realization is not a denial of faith, but is a retrieval of faith in God of the cross. God's power is seen most clearly in suffering. God's omnipotence is seen in vulnerability. God does not come to coerce, and instead allows humanity even to forget and reject God, to live as though we do not need God. For God enters the world in humility, coming among us as a servant, willingly going to the cross for love of humanity. In this seemingly powerless act is found the redemption of all creation. Through the cross, a new heaven and a new earth are ushered in. On the cross, the power of sin and death are destroyed. Now, it may seem in our gospel today that this image and this message is contradicted. It may seem that it's contradicted in an image of God's omnipotence. In our passage today from the Gospel according to Mark, Jesus teaches that the Son of Man will come with power and glory, with his angels, gathering the elect from the ends of the earth. This seems to be an image of glory and power, of great strength. It's important to remember, though, that the power and the glory of Jesus when he returns at the end of time are not the way that the world thinks about and understands power and strength. When Jesus returns again, his body still bears the scars of his passion, those marks of his crucifixion in his hands, his feet, his side. This gospel image of Jesus returning in glory sounds remarkably like the accounts of the resurrection on Easter, when new life comes from the death of the tomb. The community organizer and biblical scholar Ched Myers, in his commentary on Mark's gospel called Say to This Mountain, Mark's Story of Discipleship, suggests that in this passage, Jesus reassures his disciples in uncertain times. Jesus is offering solace to his followers that through the resurrection, God has dominion over the evil forces of this world, even over death itself. This image of the crucified and resurrected Jesus returning in glory is the call to give up all fear and despair, to not shrink back from the work at hand. The oppressive powers and forces of this world will eventually be defeated by God. Things will not always remain as they are now. These words of Jesus are to reassure early Christians in dangerous times. They lived at the time of the Jewish revolt against Rome, a war between Jewish nationalists and the Roman Empire. Mark's community following Jesus was committed to nonviolence, and they would not fight in the revolt on either side. So this meant they were persecuted both by the nationalists and by the Roman officials. The forces of death were all around them. Today's gospel reminds those following Jesus that we must live by the way of love that Jesus does. The power of the cross is the means by which the forces of oppression are overthrown. Earthly powers and principalities will pass away. They are no match for the fierce love of God. For God's love is so strong, it defeats the power of sin and death. Jesus reminds his followers to keep awake through this dark night, to watch for God to enter into human history, to live by the hope that God can transform this time for God's purposes. This hope assures us that God is present with us in our challenges, gives meaning to our suffering through the power of the cross, that God is active and present in this time and invites us to be like clay in God's hands, allowing God to shape us into the people God intends us to be. Then, having shaped and formed us, God can use us as instruments of God's work, of healing, agents in this broken and suffering world. Advent bids us to trust the longings and the hopes of the prophets of old, believing that God does indeed hear the cries of God's people. God will transform this world. God is not hiding from us, but is revealed in the loving humility of the cross, in the vulnerability of a love stronger than death, in God coming among us as a helpless baby in Bethlehem. Advent calls us to see this world as it is, not ignoring it or retreating from it, but seeing it honestly. We are called to feel the pain, the sadness, even the despair that is present in the world now, and to understand this as an experience of the cross, of the suffering of Jesus. And God invites us to lift this pain in prayer, so that God may transform and redeem it, and may also strengthen us to face this world. As we experience the world's brokenness, may we allow God to use us as God's instruments of transformation, that through us this world may be changed, changed by our loving witness, and others come to know the powerful love of God. Amen.